Well, welcome to worship. It's Christmas Eve, yay. And I'm gonna say prematurely Merry Christmas to you, because we know tomorrow is coming. And I am just so glad you're here. It's a simple, joyous service, retelling of the story we already know, singing. There's gonna be a part where I invite the young ones up and we learn some movements. You've already seen some of them during worship. So we're just so glad you're here, and would remind you that next Sunday at 11 o'clock we have a service, and you get to pick the Christmas hymns you wanna sing, the ones you may have missed, so come to that. And I'm just, again, so glad you chose to worship on us on this night of joy, this night of hope. So you get to stand and join in the call to worship. On this holiest of nights,
we come.
On this night most silent,
we come, our hopes and dreams joining those of Mary and Joseph.
On this night of carols and candlelight,
we come, our glad songs joining with those of the angel choirs before us.
Please be seated. The story of Christmas is the story of God bringing comfort to God's people. It is the story of God coming down into the world to show us the way of light. God came into this world in the most unusual way. God came as a baby, incarnate, enfleshed in humans. And in the story of the birth, you've heard it before, but it's such an unexpected way and such unexpected places that God comes into. And we will visit those places as we witness and remember again the story of Christ's birth unfolding before us. And we start that by singing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." And now I'm going to have you stand up again. It's good for you.
Joyful and triumphant. Please be seated. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, God chose a barren woman named Hannah to give birth to a son who would become one of Israel's greatest prophets. But this was only a shadow of what was to come. Centuries later, God chose an unmarried woman named Mary to give birth to the Savior of the world. When Mary learned that she was expecting, she traveled to the hill country of Judah to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Together, they waited for the birth of the one who would bring salvation to those living in the darkness of sin.
A reading from 1 Samuel. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat and spoiled. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. The Lord brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. The Lord brings low and also exalts. The Lord raises up from the poor from the dust. The Lord lifts the needy from the ash heap, and to make them sit with the princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. The Lord will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversary, shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. The Lord will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." A reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliest of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and in his holy name the Lord's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. The Lord has shown strength with his arm and has shattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. The Lord has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The Lord has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Thank you.
Long before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah promised that the Savior of the world would be born to a young woman. For hundreds of years, the people of Israel waited, and they waited, and they waited, and wondered when this would ever happen. In time, an angel of the Lord appeared to an unmarried teenage virgin named Mary, who lived in a small town of Nazareth. The angel told her that she would be the one God had chosen to give birth to the child who would save the world.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Tonight, if we need you to do it. Okay.
The town of Bethlehem was a small town of fewer than 1,000 people whose only claim to fame was that Israel's great king David was born there. But once again, God chose the ordinary things of this world to carry out God's plan of salvation. The prophet Micah promised that one day a shepherd king even greater than David would come from Bethlehem and rule Israel. Around the time Jesus was born, the Roman government ordered a census for tax purposes, so young Mary and Joseph traveled to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem. While they were there, Mary's labor began, and she gave birth to a baby boy.
A reading from the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clan of Judah, from you shall come forth to me, one who is in rule in Israel, whose origin is from the old, from the ancient days. Therefore, he should give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the end of the earth, and he should be the one of peace. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own town to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be the register with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a band of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Okay, you ready? Teddy and Sebastian and Elizabeth. Teddy and Sebastian and Elizabeth, you're going to help me with a song a little bit. Sam's going to. I'm going to show you the part. When you hear the word Jesus, you're going to do this with your hands like you're rocking a baby. Can you practice? Okay. Sebastian, try rocking the baby. Okay. So every time you hear Jesus, we're going to do it. Sam's going to help us a little bit. You're going to sing it, and then we're going to rock whenever we hear Jesus. All right, just do one verse.
Larry, what's my key? Away in a manger, no crib for his bed.
Here we go.
Little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head.
Okay.
The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
So when you grown-ups sing that song, whenever you hear Jesus, it's pretty hard. We'll show them what to do, Elizabeth. We just like rock the baby, don't we? Yeah. So you get to stand up and sing it, but you can rock the baby whenever you hear Jesus. We're teaching them the song, Sebastian. Okay. Good job. Good job.
In the manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head.
The stars in the sky looked down where he lay.
Okay.
The little
Look who got Jesus. Have to sit out there because Teddy took Jesus and started rocking him a little bit. I will say Jesus is his baby, but it was perfect timing. When the people of Israel were falling away from God, God promised that one day a Savior would come and announce good news to those that had lost hope and felt lost to God. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus was born. The angels appeared to a group of poor shepherds to announce the good news. The Savior of the world has been born.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
Thank you for sharing.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Okay.
Please be seated. Jesus, the true King of the nations, had been born. Sometime after his birth, wise men came from far off to pay tribute to Jesus. These earthly kings followed a star, something that had been foretold hundreds of years earlier. When they arrived at Jesus' home, they bowed down and worshiped the infant, the Prince of Peace, the ruler of the world, and they were overwhelmed with joy.
A reading from the book of Numbers. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the borderlands of Moab and the territory of all the Shethelites. Edom will become a possession, Seir a possession of its enemies, while Israel does valiantly. One out of Jacob shall rule. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Amen.
Please be seated. There's many reasons I like being pastor of the church here, but one of the things I love is on Christmas Eve, they give away their offering. And here's a secret. We tend to get a lot of money on a Christmas Eve offering, and lots of churches just wait for that offering to pay off their bills at the end of the year. But we don't do that. We're giving away our offering tonight to two groups. One of them is Catholic Charities, specifically to help pay for lawyers for people that are caught in this immigration chaos, because they need help. The other group we're giving our money to is a homeless prenatal program that goes to support women who have young children to keep them housed, for those that are refugees, and for those that have given birth and raising young children under really difficult circumstances. That's where such an offering on Christmas Eve should go. So give generously. Give what you have, and then give that part you were saving for coffee tomorrow.
Thank you.
Jesus was born in a small town in the Judean countryside of Israel. But his purpose was not limited by geographical location. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He came into the world so the world would know his hope, so he might shine in the darkness of the world to those that had lost their hope, to those that felt like they were lost to God. But we are never lost to God. Today, the work of Jesus continues to shine around the world by his disciples. And that includes us. We followers of Jesus, we carry the light of welcome, love, and hope and justice in our homes, on the corner of Vines and Sacramento, in our cities, and to the ends of the earth.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. A reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
I will admit that we pastors get a bit anxious about Christmas Eve services. Will there be enough bulletins? Will there be candles for everyone? Will it rain? Or some of my friends worry about, will it snow? But mostly we worry about the meditation or the sermon because we all want that really good story. And so usually there are emails that go around or phone calls, and we ask our friends if we've got that good story they are willing to share with us. It was a dry year this year on those phone calls. And one person reminded me that, Maggie, you know, the story's already been told. The best story is that God was born into the world, incarnate in the world, and that all you do is have to tell that again and be some light and be some love and be some hope. She said you don't have to prove it and you don't have to guss it up with a bow. It happened. A child was born into the world and the world has never been the same since. Thomas Merton said a little bit more smartly, Christ is born to us today in order that God might appear to the whole world through us. So we basically can be God's light in the world. And what I've learned about lights is that you kind of have to look for it. And many times when you find light, you share it with others. Or someone else will see light and hope and they'll say, come along and see it. Or they'll point it out to you. Or someone is a spark of light, just has energy and vision, and you go with them. And when you put your light, your hope, your energy together, it gets stronger. For light has movement in it. It flickers, it illuminates, it moves us. And so I'm sure, or I know about the image about being light, is you have to be engaged and active and with people and in the world. Because if you sit in your own darkness, if you sit in your own depression or isolation and just say, I dare hope to come to me, It often doesn't come. You have to be active and involved. Isaiah put it this way, "Arise and shine, your light has come. Lift up your eyes and look around and gather people with you." It's active and looking and gathering. And still, in search of a great story, I have some calls out, and I called Washington, D.C. and Missouri, Mexico, and my friend up at Fillmore Street, and I got nothing. Well, it's not really true. They told me their stories of light and what had warmed up their tired pastors' hearts, but it fit their community and not mine. So I thought of the ways that Old First has been feeling light and trying to give light out this year. And a lot of it has had to do with immigrants. This summer, we put together these wonderful care kind of backpacks for people that were coming over the border and just got put in a bus station and said, make your way to your family, and they had nothing. So we put together these backpacks that had food and personal care supplies and things for children and phone calls. So when they were on the bus, they would have something to know that they were loved. And we've given money for young girls to do classes and opportunities to figure out what they're going to be when they grow up, when they're immigrants, when they've come to this country. And we've invited other churches and faith traditions to kind of do that work with us, and that's made our burden light. And so I was just talking to a friend, not trying to get sermon illustration, and he's a pastor up at Calvary Prez. And he told me a story in just passing that has been such a hope to me these last 3 days. I was just calling him to wish him Merry Christmas and to wish his husband a happy birthday because his birthday's today. Not the most great. It's good for Jesus, not good for a kid to have your birthday here. And he said, Maggie, do you know, you remember about when we put up banners, and I thought about that. A couple years, Calvary Presbyterian up on Fillmore put banners up on their church. One said, Black Life Matters. The other one said, We Welcome Immigrants and Refugees, and they put a rainbow flag out. They were trying to tell people who they were. And my friend told me that one day a man walked into his church and said, Do you really help immigrants? Because I need help. And my friend had knew the sign was up there, so he just said, yes. And the man began to tell this story about how his wife and children were fleeing Honduras because of violence. And they decided that they would split the family up. The mother and the oldest son would go, and then the mother would stay with the three other children, and they would come as soon as they could. And the father had made it to San Francisco with his oldest son. They made him their way through the border crossing process. They had got themselves to San Francisco. They had a job in Pacific Heights. And when he saw that message on the church, we welcome immigrants and refugees, he came in and asked for help. My friend, the pastor there, said no one had ever done that yet, and they haven't done it since. My friend said the banner hadn't been up there very long, and we had no idea what to do next after the banner. He said, so we did what we could. We started where we were, not knowing what the next steps would be. And at the man's request, they accompanied him and his teenager to the immigration appearances at the courts. And there they were, a room full of native Presbyterians sitting there simply pulling for the father and son. And the judge seemed kind of moved. He asked where they were from, and their case advanced and is still advancing. People from Calvary wrote letters and they prayed. And in October, they took a mission trip to Tijuana. They were just working down there. And through the miracle of text, they got a text from the father from Honduras and said, my wife and three children are in Tijuana, can you see them? And they did. They had a meal with them, they took pictures, and they sent them back to the dad. It was amazing. And so I called my friend a couple days ago, and he said, the family is here. And I said, great, what family? He said, Maggie, the family from Honduras, All five of them are together, and they are in the atrium of Calvary last Sunday. The mother and the four children were reunited. A family once separated by threats and violence and greed is now healed, whole, put back together for Christmas. The New York Times says that asylum seekers have a chance of 0.001 of finding asylum. And they were reunited last Sunday at Calvary. My friend said, I thought a Christmas miracle meant finding parking or not fighting in my family on Christmas, but he said, this is a miracle. That's what it means to be the light and to pass the light and to be hope in this world. No one is doing everything, but together we can do much. My friend's story gave me hope. It reminded me that together we are light and hope and justice for the world because we follow the one of love, the one born as a child and changed our lives and changes lives still. So may God's light shine on all those that need hope tonight, this night, and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
May we pray. Loving God of light, who came into the world in a miraculous, strange way, came so your presence would be enfleshed in people through a vulnerable child, may we follow the one of peace this day. If we have hurt and anger, we've been holding it inside, let us put it away. May we give you a presence of forgiveness. For the people that are lonely, may they find hope. May there be justice and hope and safe places to sleep and enough to eat and hearts that are full in San Francisco, in the United States, around this world. Let us be a light together of justice and hope and love. Amen. And now look at your lights. By themselves, they couldn't illumine much. But when they are together, do you see the difference you make? Ah, there is still hope in the world. So I charge you to go out to be lights of hope and justice, of friendship, of joy. Because you are loved. God came for us. God came for you. So you would know that you are also beloved, worth everything. So go in joy and love and peace this night and every night. Amen.